Gene, it's me, Judge John Hodgman. Gene, thank you so much for guest bailiffing today.
Of course. Thank you for asking me.
But I need to give you some background on what is about to happen on the show.
Okay.
Because
this has never happened before.
This is a previously on Judge John Hodgman segment. Yes. Okay. So today we're hearing a case between a person named Rudy and his wife, who is a whole human being in her own right, Mary, about glitter. But you have to know that Rudy has been on the show before.
Oh.
Yeah. He appeared some weeks ago in verdict number 518. There's an appellate court for that. Rudy was the defendant. His grown son, Patrick, was taking his dad, Rudy, to court because Rudy would not stop pitching his idea for a new social networking app.
What's the app?
Well, first of all, you have to understand it's called Rudy's Place. And it's a virtual hangout slash bar where people could hang out together and then they could buy each other drinks using the app.
Where do the drinks come
from? You see some of the problems already. Their own, presumably their own refrigerator or liquor cabinet or sarsaparilla bar.
A metaphorical drink.
Anyway, okay. Patrick and his sister Bridget, who had been hearing about this idea for all this time and time again, every family gathering, Rudy would tell Patrick and his sister Bridget and any of their many, many, many cousins by the dozens that this app was a good idea. They said that it was not a good idea, but Rudy kept saying, this is my gift to you. One of you should make this app and become a millionaire.
Okay.
And Patrick was like, I'm not going to do it. And I just want to be left alone. I want you to order my dad to stop pitching Rudy's Place.
Okay.
And I did. And Rudy accepted that. But then Rudy turned around and revealed that he has a separate dispute with his wife and whole human being, Mary, because she loves glitter and he hates it. That's what we're going to hear today. Rudy is a weird dad, but we ruled an interesting dad.
Okay.
He retired last year from a career in energy and environmental policy. Mm-hmm. He's now getting a PhD in philosophy of technology.
Ambitious.
With his thesis being technology is evil and bad. that's why he wants his son to develop this app.
Right. Yeah.
Loves the Minnesota Vikings, hates yachts, fears sharks, but does not hate sharks. I've also learned recently that he is a Jeopardy champion, an absinthe drinker, and he can, quote, source the lyrics of Disco Inferno to an obscure English philosopher, end quote. That quote comes from one of the several very, very long letters that Rudy and Mary's friends and neighbors have been sending me since the last time Rudy was on this podcast.
You listed a lot of things, but maybe you could have just led with a drinker of absinthe and then explained everything after that.
Everything else derives from that, I have a feeling. Gene, these people, Rudy, Mary, Patrick, Bridget, cousins, friends, neighbors, taken over this podcast. We had to make a segment, a weekly segment called Rudy's Place to deal with all this Rudy content. And Jonathan Colton even wrote a theme song. Do you want to hear the theme song? Well, no.
Oh, no.
Because this is my podcast. It's got my name on it. The Judge John Hodgman. It's not Rudy's Place. This is the Judge John Hodgman podcast. No, Gene, I'm sorry.
Okay.
We'll play it at the end of the podcast. Anyway, that's the background on Rudy's Place, Mary, and everything else. Oh, I forgot to say one thing. They live in an unnamed town on a road called Big Toad Road.
What do you mean, unnamed town? Oh, because
I'm not saying the name of the town, but I know that their road is called Big Toad Road. Big Toad Road.
I suppose there was a extremely large toad at some point that someone had to be like, it was so big, get rid of the other name.
Well, Gene, that's it. You can start the show whenever you want.
Can I take a nap?
Yeah, let's take a little break.
All right. Welcome to the Judge John Hodgman podcast. I'm guest bailiff Jean Gray, sitting in for Jesse Thorne. This week, citation for glittering. Rudy can't stand glitter. He says that Mary keeps bringing it into the house and would like her to stop. Mary says that Rudy needs to find a better way to cope. Who's right? Who's wrong? Only one can decide. Please rise as Judge John Hodgman enters the courtroom and presents an obscure cultural reference.
As a further preliminary matter, you should know that I have been to Big Toad Road on many occasions. I can assure you that whatever mental images you and your listeners have conjured up are absolutely accurate. Guest Bailiff Jean Gray, please swear them in.
Please rise and raise your right hands. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you God, or the holy construction of checker cabs in the 70s and 80s that had flip-top stools in the back with no seat belts.
So help me, RBG.
Do you swear to abide by Judge John Hodgman's ruling, despite the fact...
Oh, there's usually a joke.
No, that's it. Jesse makes up. That's the joke. Despite the fact...
I do.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. Judge Hodgman, you may proceed.
Rudy and Mary, you may be seated for an immediate summary judgment in one of yours favors. Can either of you guess the source of the quote that I offered you? I've been to Big Toad Road on many occasions.
Is that a planet from Next Generation?
I've been to Big Toad Road on many occasions. I can assure you.
A planet. Sounds more like a Walt Whitman.
It sounds like more Walt Whitman. I thought you guys were going to get this because I was certain that you had been CC'd on this particular letter that was sent to me from one Mark. Does that name mean anything to you?
I did not see the letter. No.
Yeah. Cousin Kathleen's husband.
Yeah, this is a letter dated June 12, 2021. Mark is the husband to Mary's first cousin, Kathleen, honorary uncle to Patrick and Bridget, your children. It is a lovely letter in support of the concept of Rudy's Place, the app. And very much in support of Rudy personally in a very moving way. I'll forward you the letter and share it on the show page. But I will also point out that it's been in my inbox for 10 days. I only just read it this morning because it is 1,423 words long.
I'm touched.
1,423 words. Mark sent a letter to me. I then received a letter from Kathleen, Mark's wife, in support of Mary, pointing out that glitter is fun and festive, that Mary is incredibly generous of spirit, and she gives cards and gifts adorned with glitter, and wonders how Rudy will even keep glitter out of the house when he cannot prevent a simple squirrel infestation. More on that later. Kathleen wrote, I quote, "In fact, I noticed a parked car yesterday that had a pink glitter steering wheel cover and thought it would be a perfect gift for Mary." End quote. That's 27 words. That is just 27 words from her 702-word long letter. 702. That's half of Mark's letter. That's better. You know, we all grew up with print magazines. That's a whole page in a print magazine. So we'll post Kathleen's letter as well, but I'm issuing on my own behalf a restraining order. Mark and Kathleen may not write me again. I don't need this homework. 1,400 words, Mark. Get your word count down. So now, let's go to the courtroom, finally. Finally get someone some justice here. Mary, we already know a lot about Rudy. He's been on the show before. So let's get to know you a little bit. You are, you were a prosecutor in Manhattan in the 1980s, and you are now a law professor.
Guilty.
Lingo. And now you teach prosecuting in what field?
Well, this is kind of the opposite of glitter. So my day job, my day gig is a little heavy. So I work on a lot of violence against women issues. And so, intimate partner violence, sexual assault, stuff that's kind of heavy, right? Yeah. Not usually at a comedy show. So I would say that the work is heavy. The rest of my life should have a little bling in it.
All right. And you noted before we started recording that you have fairy lights behind you, but it's not your fault.
No.
Right. That is your daughter's former.
Well, actually, I like them. No, now that I think about them, I think I did put them up. Oh, dear. Guilty again.
Where did you live in Manhattan in the 1980s?
I couldn't afford to live in Manhattan initially in the 1980s. Mm-hmm. So I lived in the Bronx in my parents' downstairs after law school. I had to, it's the usual immigrant experience of my parents. I lived in the Bronx, and then My friend was able to, because she worked at a private firm, was able to find a place in Brooklyn and offered me a room in it. And we shared a room on, it was like 4th and 10th, I think, but it was not the Brooklyn you see today. But it was a really interesting place.
And now you live up there on Big Toad Road.
Oh, yeah.
Against your will.
No, that's not completely fair. I want to be fair about this.
Right.
I am more adaptable than Rudy. So I could live in a lot of places, right? I can live on Big Toad Road. I can live in Brooklyn. I could live in...
What about Long Snake Ave? Could you live there?
No. No, you're right. I'm not that adaptable.
I also says here, speaking of glitter, in big capital letters is told to me, you are not a crafter.
No. See, I what feel like mean? I was unfairly presented.
By?
Well, just that in general, people make assumptions when he kind of goes on about glitter.
Right.
That either I'm, you know, in head to toe golemé with glitter.
Which, by the way, for the record, you are not. And for the record, I am disappointed.
I know. I do have my RBG descent necklace and earring, matching earrings. And I was thinking, Judge, that a little lace collar on your, you know, a little something like an RBG thing on your robes might be a little, you know. So there you go. I do like a little bling.
Flair.
But I'm not a crafter. I'm so domestically impaired. Like, Rudy's the one who would pick up a vacuum. He's the cook. He's really very, he brings home the bacon and he fries it up in a pan.
Got it. So what are you using this glitter for?
I wouldn't have identified my house as a house with glitter in it. So what happens, John, is I have 56, I think, first cousins on one side of my family. And there's a lot of birthdays. There's a lot of first communions and weddings and back and forth thank you cards. And then there's Christmas.
Right.
Big into Christmas. And, you know, where we live on Big Toad Road, it's like dark and dreary at 4 o'clock in the winter.
Sure.
So I think that Christmas and festive occasions, family stuff. Now, also, they have glitter on wrapping paper now. So I think I'm like inadvertently bringing in glitter in the house. But I do like light. I do like shimmer. So I don't feel like there's a lot of glitter in our house. Like, I think
it's incidental. You're saying it's incidental glimmer.
Your Honor, your claim exactly would be, captured it.
Thank you. It's not my job to make your case for you, but your claim would be that you don't bring in more glitter than a normal human being would track into the house, say, after a light glitter sprinkle outside.
Correct.
Yeah, I got you. It's like part of the weather of being a human, as far as you are concerned.
Yes.
Okay, got you. And just a quick question. 56 first cousins?
Yeah. Wow. Well, my mother was one of 12 in Ireland.
Right.
And so half of them came here.
Right.
And half of them are home. And they had to leave, right? So I do think it was a little bit of a shock to Rudy. Like, when we joined households, he never realized he needed to budget for events, you know?
Right. I guess my point is... I just want to comment on, it's kind of astonishing because most people in my world don't come from such large families. And that's like, how do you find time to write birthday cards? Never mind holiday cards for 56 first cousins at 1,400 words each. I presume you're writing 1,000, at least 1,400 words per Christmas card, right?
I have really bad handwriting from all of this.
Hey, when you listen to podcasts, it really just comes down to whether or not you like the sound of everyone's voices. My voice is one of the sounds you'll hear on the podcast Dr. Game Show, and this is the voice of co-host and fearless leader Joe Firestone.
This is a podcast where we play games submitted by listeners, and we play them with callers over Zoom we've never spoken to in our lives. So that is basically the concept of the show. Pretty chill.
So take it or leave it, bucko. And here's what some of the listeners have to say.
It's funny, wholesome, and it never fails to make me smile.
I just started listening and I'm already binging it. I haven't laughed this hard in ages. I wish I'd discovered it sooner.
You can find Dr. Game Show on MaximumFun.org.
Video games can make you laugh.
They can make you cry.
They can even make you sing.
We're the hosts of Triple Click.
It's a podcast about video games.
This is an exciting time for new games, from Diablo to Final Fantasy.
From Starfield to Street Fighter.
From Zelda to, oh, who are we kidding? We're just going to talk about Zelda.
Whether you play games or you just like hearing about them, we've got you covered.
Find us at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Bye.
Rudy.
Yes.
Now it is your turn. We have heard and gotten to know Mary. So now it's time for Rudy's place, or Rudy's piece. What's the nature of your complaint? We kind of get the idea, but restate for the court your specific complaint about the glitter.
My specific complaint is that glitter, once it gets into the house, it's very hard to remove, even with vacuuming. It tends to sort of secrete itself into the crevices of carpeting, the upholstery, cracks in the floor, places that it just lays there until the angle of the lighting is just right as you're walking past, and this little stream of light kind of bursts forth at you.
And what does that light do, Rudy?
It shatters your concentration and disrupts whatever else you're doing in your life.
I understood from your original letter, you'll be walking through the house. Uh-huh. The glitter will reflect a beam of piercing light into your eye.
Yes.
And whatever you were thinking about or doing in that moment has been destroyed.
Yeah.
And you stand there for like 45 minutes, unable to move. Trapped.
No, until recently, when I started trying to work on it, I would mutter something maybe obscene about the glitter. And then I would wet my finger and go after the piece of glitter, because it will stick to a wet finger. And then if I'm able to get it up, then I'll go put it in the garbage.
Why is the wet finger solution not a solution? It seems like you got it covered.
Well,
that's a pretty good glitter life hack, by the way.
It's a remediation, but it's not a prevention. I want to prevent the disruption in the first place. The best way I can describe, for people who aren't bothered by glitter...
Right.
The best analogy I can draw is it's the equivalent of a sudden, very high-pitched, piercing noise. Like if you're walking up your stairs, thinking about what you're going to do next or thinking mm-hmm. about something or other, and all of a sudden, just sudden, high-pitched, piercing sound just out of nowhere.
Do you have synesthesia?
I don't.
Do you perceive, yes, glitter as noise?
I do not. I'm bothered by lots of things. I'm easily bothered by annoying distractions. I think I'm not alone in that. But yes, I find it very hard to ignore annoying distractions.
So Mary, you have already made your case that the amount of glitter is not unusual. I am not going to inspect your home on Big Toad Road. Because frankly, you and your family have entwined themselves into my life tightly enough as it is.
We do that.
But you have produced some evidence mm-hmm. That we will share with this court. Jennifer Marmer, do you want to present the first film, Exhibit A, for the defense?
Sure. Okay, so a flying squirrel fell into my tub that I was running.
Okay, I'm going to pause right there.
Just all sorts of no. All levels of absolutely not are involved.
Jean, tell us what we're seeing here.
I believe this is a flying squirrel that has fallen from the ceiling, perhaps, somewhere uh-huh. into your bathtub, which I assume someone had run a bath. Getting ready to take a bath, which is even more terrifying.
Let the record show that Mary is raising her hand. This was to be her bathtub.
Because you could have been in the bath when this happens.
Let the record show that Mary is pointing and snapping her fingers. Like,
oh,
this is a podcast is an audio medium. You may react.
That's all right. I, and as a person who also grew up spent 43 years in New York City, and has in the past year moved to a big toad road of my very own, not the same name, but same feeling.
You have nature in your life.
We now have nature, but we also removed 9 flying squirrels from inside of our walls. And just the scratching and the squirrel fights that were happening inside of the walls was terrifying enough. So I cannot imagine what...
I'm sorry.
Mary's still alive, and honestly, I'm impressed.
If one of those flying squirrels had flown into your bathtub while you were in it, it would have been bad news.
It would have been bad news for me, the squirrel, everyone in the neighborhood. I would have had to set the house on fire. There's a lot of things that would have happened. I see there's probably candles and a lot of substances in here that could have been used as Molotov cocktails. So, yeah, sort of where I would have gone. And I thought she was extremely calm and handled it really well.
Let's listen to her be calmly handling the rest of it.
And Rudy is going to try to get it out and rescue it. And
this little guy is trying so hard. He's hanging on to the jacuzzi jets for dear life. Let the record show that Mary ends her narration before finishing the film saying, "Why did I ever leave the Bronx?" Is that correct? Did I hear that correctly, Mary?
Correct. Yeah. And for the record, Your Honor, it's a 2019 video, so it was not prepared for this defense.
It's just something you've had on your phone for years.
I shared with every member of my family so they could taunt Rudy.
Yeah, the 57 first cousins or whatever each got a copy of this for Christmas. And with a glitter card saying, this cannot happen again.
Yeah, I also want to be very clear that the Molotov cocktails were just to burn the house down. I would have also tried to save the squirrel with my bare hands because I have saved many animals from pools before. Just walking by a pool. Oh, no. Gotta save this one. Yeah. But the repercussions and the nightmares would stay with me.
Yeah. Scary
of what
stuff
could have been.
Now, let the record show that I know from the other video Mary sent in, Exhibit B for the defense, which is a little long. We're not going to go into it. But that Rudy did attempt to save this squirrel, not using his hands, but using 2 gigantic Rubbermaid tubs, it felt like.
Yes.
How would you describe what Rudy's effort, Mary?
Well, it was adorably heroic. He is an environmentalist. He is certainly very caring about humans and animals. He doesn't have this. I have similar instincts to Gene, where like you react first because you need to protect yourself.
Yeah.
But you don't want to hurt anyone, but you're like, get the hell away from me. Heckle, away from me. And so Rudy was really very concerned about the death of the squirrel. And I was too. I offered to get a blanket, but sometimes I feel he's more concerned about the animals than about the people who were also affected by the animals. So that's a little tension, I would say.
I have to object.
Please. Sustained.
Thank you, Your Honor. I just don't think that's the case. I think my first concern was for Mary and her well-being, and then I wanted to take care of the squirrel. And unfortunately, it did not work out well for the squirrel. Oh. I think the squirrel was too far gone at that point.
Oh.
I'm sorry. Thank you for injecting that note of tragedy into our lighthearted discussion.
I did not think that was going to happen.
Well, that's tragedy.
Especially since it's not, none of it is germane to the case. Mary, what is this flying squirrel? How did it get there? And what does this have to do with the glitter case?
So my argument, Your Honor, respectfully, is that you can have an amazingly long list of everything that annoys you and expect the other person to accommodate all of them. I think Rudy's list is much longer than mine. And I would say that what I get annoyed by is more commonly annoyed by other people, like flying squirrels entering your house on more than one occasion and saying, yes, we should get the pest people. Even if you think they're a racket, we need to get them. So that's my argument.
So this is an ongoing problem? You have squirrels in your house?
Oh, yes.
May I interject, Your Honor?
Sustained.
Yes. Yes. We have way more than our share of nuisance animal intrusions compared to the average household. That does go with the location. But I would say
way more than your share.
Yes, we have more than our share.
What is the town? Does this town allot you a certain number? a number of flying squirrels and giant centipedes every month or something?
We don't invite them in, and unlike the glitter, we don't invite them in. And when they are in, we do everything we can to keep them out, to get them out and keep them out.
I think Mary's point is, why are you complaining about glitter when there are squirrels in your house and
right.
that problem has not been solved? Would that be fair to say?
Yes, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Judge?
Yes, please.
Would you mind if I ask a couple of questions?
I would love it.
All right. Rudy, I feel like there are some things that I might very much relate to you on here as the person in my household who apparently is the only person who can see things that are out of place and are glaringly obvious to me. And I'm like, what is going on here? I also think that I do take it upon myself to make sure that certain things are in place. Otherwise, I will always be angry, especially after things like the holidays. Have you ever considered after the holidays just having someone in to deep clean the house? Because things get everywhere for months. There are pine needles that you'll find 6 months later, and you're like, how could that possibly happen?
Yes, mm-hmm. Thank you. Well, I'm not sure about deep cleaning, but regular cleaning, certainly. For a number of years when Mary and I were both working outside the house, we did have professional cleaners in regularly. I just think that there's something just about the mechanics of a piece of glitter mm-hmm. and a crevice that mm-hmm. it is able to evade. Many of them are able to evade vacuuming.
Even professional cleaners.
Yes. I'm not sure the professional cleaner's vacuum is any more effective than our own vacuum.
Right. You're saying that standard professional cleaners can't get all the glitter.
And that is correct. Why I suggested actual professional deep cleaners, which is a very different thing, like someone you perfect. Would hire if you're just moving yeah. into a house or out of a house. What I was going to ask about also, if during the holidays, if there were, say, things that were, I know that I feel a certain way about glitter as well, but I also like things that reflect light, that bring in shine. Have you suggested anything else, maybe metallics or glass or prisms or kaleidoscopes, and suggested and brought these things to Mary in order to solve that problem of the glitter, a replacement?
Well, once again, I will say yes, but I'll probably be corrected. But yes, I have occasionally bought clothing for Mary that has sparkly thread woven through it. In fact, Mary just bought a pair of sandals or shoes that are sandally shoes that have sequins on them and not glitter. They don't come off into the house and they're very sparkly. And I said, those are great. I like those. So yes, I'm certainly
your defense
amenable
is that you complimented
to
your wife one time.
Well, I said that you, actually just happened this week, but
may I also point out that Rudy submitted one single piece of evidence pertaining to the question that you just asked, Jean, about mm-hmm. bringing in other mm-hmm. Festive and upbeat elements to the home. Mm-hmm. I don't need to. Go ahead and share my screen again. And
oh, yes, I've seen this.
Yes.
I saw it earlier.
If I'll just scroll down.
Whee!
Is a single maraca. One photo of a single maraca.
Beautiful maraca.
Yes, this is quote, an example of festive but non-glittered paraphernalia. A maraca. It's funny you don't say maraca a lot. You
no.
know what I mean? Singular.
Mm-hmm. Not usually singular.
It feels
singular.
Like it's a little more common to say maracas, mm-hmm. right? Because
well,
they're usually there too.
Mm-hmm. There was another one that but I'm not sure too much noise. where it came from, whether Mary brought it in or someone else did. There was one that was coated with gold glitter. And every time it was shaken, some portion of the glitter would come off. And I looked for that. I know that that at some point I put it into a Ziploc bag to try to contain the glitter. I thought I put it away somewhere. I looked for it, and I couldn't find it. So it's possible that it was accidentally destroyed.
Also, as someone who paints and does craft, there is the option of doing a top coat of sealant on anything that contains glitter, where you seal the glitter in its own little Han Solo carbonite, and there it shall stay. It still shines, but Judge, one last question and a half to Mary. I definitely understand that the balance of having these light things in your life, in contrast to your job and what's been your job for years, is hugely important to you. And I think I also just wanted to ask you, I think sometimes we know, like, we enjoy all these things and we're like, oh, there's so many other options to do this. I thought, celebrating my first Christmases, that I would, as someone who's never really a glitter person, I was like, yeah, but I want, like, the sparkles and the light, and sort of looking for all these other ways that weren't necessarily the invasive nature of glitter. Would you be into looking at any of those options?
I would, with a condition.
Mm.
Mm. Okay, I've already, if you notice, the fairy lights are not glitter.
Yeah, they're lovely. Right? Lovely.
So I feel like I've done that. Here, you know, you have both crystallized for me during this session what my stubborn objection is to.
Crystals are very shiny.
Because I am being stubborn,
reflective.
And so is Rudy, okay? Yeah. Rudy always chooses things that have another purpose as well. The maraca also makes music, right? Frivolity is about things that are not productive other than the joy. Mm. And that's, I think, where the real tension is.
Mm.
So yes, I'm interested in that, but I think that there's feeling like there's a judgment, like it has to have another job as well.
You just want a thing to be a fun thing, and that's it.
Yes.
It's just fun.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Yes.
It makes me laugh
and smile. I'm willing to entertain that.
Mm.
But I need to have a little bit more compromise coming on the other side.
Mm. Okay.
Rudy, do you think that there's something to what Mary is saying? Do you have difficulty appreciating things that are just fun and don't have use?
Oh, wow. Getting deep here.
It's a deep question.
I certainly appreciate lots of things that are just for their own sake, things that are, you know, artistic or beautiful or what have you, that don't have any sort of classically utilitarian function. But I probably do have a bias against sort of celebratory frivolity items, mm-hmm. which just comes mm-hmm. from my upbringing. I was from a very sort of Spartan right. sort of upbringing.
Right. When you were growing up, you were lucky to get a flying squirrel in the bathtub on Christmas.
That was a heyday. that's what we did for fun when I was growing up. So, but I definitely credit Mary with, yes, making efforts to find non-glittery forms of entertainment. I think it's really the third-party glitter is more of the issue.
Third party glitter.
It comes in on cards. It comes in on wrapping paper. And that is not Mary's direct responsibility. But on the other hand, once it's in the house, what you do with it becomes, you know, it's like, okay,
well,
here's a card.
What can Mary do about it? She's got 56 cousins and
there's
going to
be some glitter.
There is going to be. Oh, my God. You should have, this past holiday season was the worst.
Was this what precipitated? What happened?
It was the second cousin glitter bomb was bad. Glitter bomb.
Go on. What does a second cousin glitter bomb mean to you? Because to me, it means nothing. I don't speak your family language, please.
So it's a second cousin who sent us a card that when you opened the Christmas card,
exploded.
Inside the card, there was glitter inside the envelope. Mm. So that when the card came out, almost something you see at bat mitzvahs or bar mitzvahs, you know, on the table. Yeah. And it exploded all over the living room. I called my sister. Well, she thought, I think she wasn't being mean. She was being festive. And I didn't know it was in there. So I opened the card and the glitter bomb exploded. I called my sister and said, watch out for it. And she made her daughter open it out on the deck.
Jean, what, are you, you're nodding. You're familiar with this home invasion?
I have seen it. I have seen people open those. The only thing I like flying out of any envelope I'm opening is just like cash. So that would be fun. But I have seen that. I think.
But this is a card that is designed to kind of.
It's you're supposed to be like, oh my gosh, how exciting!
It falls out on purpose. It dirties your house with fun on purpose.
Litters it with fun.
Right.
Yeah. It's a lot.
I didn't mean to cut off what you were going to say there, though, Jean.
Oh, I was going to say, I think I've opened one like at a venue, at an event, and my first thought was like, who's going to clean that up? Not me. Right. So that's fine.
That's terrible. You know? That's terrible. Next flying squirrel you save, you should send that to her. Send that to your second cousin. That's a surprise. That's fun.
It's fun in the moment, though.
Well, I would say we've identified cards that if we get them from this particular cousin, we will open them on the deck. So that, I think, now, I don't think it's going to be a trend.
It's totally going to be a trend now. You think that Mark and Kathleen aren't going to listen to this podcast? And go to all of your cousins in the United States and in Ireland and be like, send them these glitter bombs.
I feel like you're going to put it in just regular mail at this point.
Go get them.
I liked Kathleen's suggestion of sort of an airport-style glitter detector at the front door. That would work.
What do you propose as a solution, Rudy, to protect yourself from these glitterful cards and letters?
I think, again, I give Mary credit, partial credit, because she doesn't intentionally bring glittery stuff into the house, but she will unknowingly bring it in. She'll buy something and not notice that it has detachable glitter on it. So she could be a little more conscientious about that. And as far as the cards and the wrapping paper and all that, it's really a question of what you do after it has come in and containing the damage. So like the card that's obviously got glitter all over it that you open, say, in the kitchen, does not have to be taken into the bedroom to sit around there for a few days, and then taken into the living room to be put up on display on a shelf. You know, it can just be quietly disposed of.
Is that what you're doing, Mary? You're taking glittery cards and rubbing them all over your carpets, trying to stab Rudy's eyes.
I like to reread when someone takes care to say something loving to me.
Yeah.
I like to dwell on it before you just throw them away, right?
Yeah, and if they're anything like Mark's letters, you probably have to read them over a couple of weeks.
She's not rereading. It's the first time. It's a very long card. That glitter card was 4 feet tall. Yep. It was a lot of glitter. They had to get the words cards. In there.
Yeah, I just love to curl up in bed with my glitter card. What's happening to my favorite characters.
Her cousin actually got out of the card, threw the glitter on everyone, relayed the message, then climbed back in the card.
Okay. So what would you have me order, Rudy, if I were to find in your favor? No glitter or light in your wife's life ever again?
I don't think that's possible or desirable. I would say glitter-free alternatives to the extent possible. No knowingly bringing glitter items into the house. And then most importantly, containing the spread of glitter from things that are sent to us.
Understood.
Being conscientious about containing the spread.
And Mary, what would you have me order if I were to rule in your favor?
So the first thing I'd like you to order, Your Honor, is that Rudy undergo hypnosis because he's done it.
Wow.
He's done it before. Holy. He's fascinated by it. But I think for two things. You know, and if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. One would be like so that he gets a little less just distracted, angry, agitated by the glitter. And then also that his
that's the long way of saying, like, deal with it. Just deal
with
it.
I think she's
saying something interesting because it is a different level when you're bothered by things at that level.
Thank you, Jean.
Right. I'm not saying that I don't have some work to do, Your Honor, but I think you asked me what my ideal ruling would be. Right. And it would be that he work on that. I will defer to your wisdom on how I might be a little more sensitive about glitter. But the second thing that I think is important on the squirrels is that it's been a long time between the suggestion that we get someone other than Rudy solve the squirrel problem, right? Because mm-hmm. Rudy's kind of a handyman type. He likes to do it himself.
Sure.
And us actually finally having a pest person coming in, right? So I think that when the pest people, the other thing, he could either do a hypnosis on the pest thing or not assume that when the pest people come in next week, everything they do is wrong.
So Rudy is going to get hypnotized to not feel anxious about being taken advantage of by professional service providers.
Pest control people.
Right. Rudy, you're going to need to be put under very deeply. I'm not sure hypnosis is going to...
You'll need something stronger.
Some anesthesia, maybe some absinthe. Yeah. Maybe some absinthe.
That is one of my drinks of choice.
Yeah, I read about it in the letter. Oh. Love those letters, Mark and Kathleen and Judith. And also Angela, thank you for your letter as well, friends and family of Mary and Rudy. Okay, I think I've heard everything I need to in order to make my decision. I am going to go into my snobby lobby, aka my chambers.
Nice.
I'll be back in a moment to render my decision.
Please rise as Judge John Hodgman exits the courtroom. Okay. Mary, how are you feeling? How are you feeling about today?
I feel heard, which is good. Jean, I feel like I felt heard. Mm-hmm. I also feel that you all were thinking of some good sort of compromises. Mm-hmm. I'm a little nervous that if there's a ruling that I can't comply with, like just because I do... I'm not as detailed oriented as Rudy is, so I feel like the inadvertent and the third party glitter, I don't know how I'm going to comply with that if that's part of the ruling. So I'm a little nervous about that.
There is also another suggestion. There is a larger than normal glitter, which very easy to pick up. Doesn't have to be so small. That
can
might
I
also
just stop you right there.
What? Can no, Rudy. No, you can't, Rudy. No, you can't. I'm going to finish my talk with Mary, and then we're going to get to you.
Okay.
All right.
I'm sorry. I panicked.
That's what you do, Rudy. Yeah. That's why we're here, because you panic.
Yeah.
All right, Mary. I understand how you're feeling. You know what? I didn't even have anything else to say to Mary. I just wanted Rudy to hold on. Rudy, how are you feeling? Is it anxious?
No, I'm not feeling anxious. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling like this was a good discussion.
That's
good.
And
I think that there are obviously way more important things in life than glitter or the lack of glitter. And, I'm confident that the judge is going to see through that and come up with something that makes sense. I just want to interject that I don't think larger glitter is really going to be the solution here because it will the glitter will find its way.
Okay.
Despite how it would have to be big, big glitter.
It's pretty big. But before the judge gets back, I want you to pay attention to something really incredibly important that Mary said at the beginning, was that she feels heard. And I think, regardless of what the judge comes in and says, I think sometimes when you're, you know, this deep in a relationship and you're just seeing the problem and you can't even get past like the things of compromise, just the idea that someone else feels seen and completely heard without you being in your own feelings about it is so, so important. So whatever happens, take note that she felt the need to say that today. Okay?
Do it. Very okay.
All right. We'll see what the judge has to say about all this when we come back in just a moment.
Can I offer you a copay?
You're listening to Judge John Hodgman. I'm Bailiff Jesse Thorne. Of course, the Judge John Hodgman podcast, always brought to you by you, the members of MaximumFun.org. Thanks to everybody who's gone to MaximumFun.org/join. And you can join them by going to MaximumFun.org/join. The Judge John Hodgman podcast is also brought to you this week by the good folks over there at Squarespace.
Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content to time. All in one place, all on your terms. Time, Jesse.
Have you heard about this Squarespace Blueprint?
No. Tell me all about it.
Squarespace Blueprint lets you choose from a professional layout and build a website for your product or your service or your creations from the ground up. You can accept payments, including Apple Pay, among other things. It is all seamless and easy and comes out gorgeous, whether or not you went into it with big time skills. That's what Squarespace is all about, helping you express yourself and helping you share your work with the world.
Go to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to www.squarespace.com/Hodgman. Save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
The Judge John Hodgman podcast is also brought to you this week by Made In.
Oh, when you're trying to buy cookware, it's like there's so many questions, so many choices, so many pros and cons. But you should know, Made In has only pros. Pros like Tom Colicchio, Nancy Silverton, Brooke Williamson. That's right. I changed the meaning of pro from good things to professionals who use Made In because they do. Professional chefs love Made In cookware because it's got so many pros.
Can I tell you something about Nancy Silverton, one of the Made In pros?
Yeah, I would love to hear it.
My friend used to work for Nancy Silverton or one of her restaurants. And not only did she adore Nancy Silverton, but Nancy Silverton personally catered her wedding.
That's a real pro move, if you ask me.
Yeah, just like getting Made In cookware. These are people with taste, if you get my double meaning.
I do.
This isn't a Johnny-come-lately company. This evolved from a 100-year-old kitchen supply business. And they work with multi-generational crafters to put together every single piece. So includes carbon steel, stainless clad, plateware, glassware. I know, John, you love all that stuff that you have in your cabinet.
Yeah, I got the glassware. I got the plateware. And I definitely love that carbon steel. And I love their stainless steel. It's got exactly what demanding chefs and I dare say demanding judges look for when they're buying cookware.
And you don't have to find a kitchen supply store. They sell it online. It's delivered straight to your door with the quality that the pros use.
And can I just say, it's at a fraction of the price of other top brands. That's for real. This is really good stuff, and it's really affordable. And yet, as affordable as it is, I'm going to tell you this. Judge John Hodgman listeners get 10% off full-priced items from Made In. For full details, visit madeincookware.com/JJHO10. That's madeincookware.com/JJHO10.
please rise as Judge John Hodgman re-enters the courtroom and presents his verdict.
Well, you know, it's very rare that I reach a decision so quickly and so completely because the verdict is obvious and so clear. The solution is large glitter, as much as possible. Get it into the house. Get a large glitter cannon. You know what I mean? No, I'm sorry, Mary. You're smiling. That was a joke.
Oh.
It's not my order. It's weird that you would even think that I wasn't joking. Could you imagine me coming in here and saying, yeah, I think there should be as much large glitter in the house as possible. That's the solution.
Yes.
You're actually nodding. I mean, the thing is, I can see I can see you both because we are now podcasting via the magic of teleconferencing, the evil magic of teleconferencing, the curse of teleconferencing. But I do enjoy seeing your faces because here you are with a very big smile, framed by fairy lights, Mary, in a bright upstairs bedroom full of natural light. And there's Rudy below you in a shirt designed to match the closed drapes, the same color of murky pond water in a green-tinted room with a creepy ceiling fan behind him, looking like he's in the basement of Captain Nemo's submarine.
Oh, no.
Different attitudes.
Yeah.
I think, Rudy, you were the first to even say... Not you would be the first to say, you were the first to say to me that Mary is full of light, yes. Metaphorically and to a degree literally.
Absolutely.
And I am so happy that the two of you balance each other out. I'm so appreciative that I have no doubt that you appreciate Mary because you spoke of her so highly in all of your emails to me, even when you were annotating her emails to me with little notes like off topic, you would also go to great lengths to explain how important she is in your life.
That's an understatement.
And I believe that, you know, I appreciate the fact that she feels heard. She said it. I think Jean's note is a good one for all of us to take with our partners, especially as we have all been living in fairly close quarters for a long time.
Oh boy.
It's taken a toll on all of us. Yeah. Make sure that your partners feel seen and heard, even when their problems might not be as glaringly obvious as a flying squirrel in the bathtub. But I would say to this, Rudy, I hear you. I particularly heard you when you jumped in on Jean on this large glitter idea. Like, I could see you, too. I could see what I felt like was genuine panic. And I don't think that Mary would be suggesting hypnosis, although it's not clear what she was suggesting the hypnotherapy for, but I don't think she would be suggesting hypnosis if she did not acknowledge to a degree that some of this stuff genuinely is out of your control and a little traumatizing to you. I don't know anyone in the world, except for Rudy, who has a problem walking across a carpet that has a single piece of glitter in it and then getting stunned in the eyes, breaking this train of thought. I'd never heard of that before. And I want you to know, I hear you. And I think, honestly, Mary, I think you need to hear Rudy on this one. Like, he doesn't want you to forego brightness. He loves your brightness. He loves the fun. He appreciates the glimmer and shine that you bring to his life, presumably to your children's lives, to the many thousands of cousins that you have, et cetera, et cetera. But this is one thing, this one literally very small thing, glitter. It is, on the one hand, impossible to get rid of. That's part of the problem. Adam Savage, formerly of Mythbusters, now of Tested.com, and a friend of this show, has referred to glitter as the herpes of the crafting world because once you have it, it's difficult to get rid of, if not impossible. But with glitter, paradoxically, it's easy to avoid. Don't get glitter. Don't get it. Don't bring it in your home. If you know your cousin's sending you a glitter bomb, Open it outside, like your other cousin did. Use the wisdom of the cousin crowd. These are your resources. I'm not going to go so far as to ban glitter from your home, because you can't help but get these cards from the glitterati out there. But I think that Rudy deserves some consideration. I know that Rudy, from the video that you sent in, you had suggested that Rudy put that squirrel in the mudroom. So I know you have a mudroom. You got to have one on Big Toad Road. What are you going to do? You can't be out on Big Toad Road without a mudroom. I would say, whether it is the mudroom or another area, maybe it's the kitchen, maybe it's a pure hard surface area, the glitter stays in that area. We have spent a year and a half trying to figure out how to prevent contagion and having to quarantine parts of our lives and compartmentalize emotion, not only quarantine our physical bodies, but compartmentalize whole areas of our emotional lives in order to get through this together. And I order. Rudy can pick a room in which glitter is allowed and is not allowed to leave. And I would suggest that it be a hard surface room, like a kitchen, you know, where it can, but you can't be curling up. Can't be curling up with a glitter card in your terry cloth bathrobe in your bed anymore. Keep glitter in its place. And when you go out and buy wrapping paper, don't get stuff with glitter on it. Look. When you see that glitter, look deeply into that glitter and see your reflection in it and be like, no, I'm not the person who's going to bring glitter into this house. There's a lot of other wrapping paper, and there are a lot of other ways to make things bright and shiny. So that is my ruling. This is the sound of a gavel. Judge John Hodgman rules, that is all.
Please rise as Judge John Hodgman exits the courtroom. All right, we're going to start with Rudy. How are you feeling about the decision?
I'm a little stunned. I rarely win discussions like this in any venue. So, I think it's a good ruling. I will try. Will be reasonable in implementing it, and yeah.
I'm excited for you moving forward. And I feel like I'm definitely feeling that you are stunned and you're like, oh, I didn't think it was going to go this way.
No.
Awesome. Mary, how are you feeling about the decision?
Well, I feel like I need a little clarification. Mm. So I'm okay with, I would love to have some input into the room and knowing Rudy's and our relationship of over 30 plus years of relationship, we'll find a room. My problem is we already have glitter on our Christmas ornaments. Mm-hmm. So what am I supposed to do with that? They're already in the house. They're stored away.
The call's coming from inside the house. Well, I think that could easily be done by something like I was saying, like, you know, just seal those up. And it'll even make storing them in containers. You know, when you take those things out next year, you're like, ugh, it's such a mess in there. And it doesn't have to be that way. So I think it sort of helps everyone. You keep your ornaments. You spray some acrylic coat on there.
I'm writing and then this everyone down. Wins. It's acrylic spray.
Yeah, acrylic spray your ornaments.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, it's not very ecologically sound, but you could store the ornaments in Ziploc bags and then also hang them on the tree that way. And then
I'm so not doing that, Judge. You are now pushing
your ornaments will be all bagged up and you can think of me every time you look at them.
But I think there's a great compromise and also understanding of how we have learned to work with the world. I'm proud of both of you. And I'm proud of the judge.
Thank you.
I'm proud of you, Jean. I'm proud of you, Jennifer. And hey, I want to just say I'm proud of everyone who doesn't celebrate Christmas. We've had a lot of Christmas talk on this podcast, And yes. I get it. Not everyone celebrates that. So I see right. and hear you as well.
I just didn't want to pull my Jewish friends into the debate because I have given them glittery Hanukkah stuff. Yes. And I just felt like they have enough to deal with around the holidays. I didn't want to bring them in. My Muslim friends, I'm like, no, you got enough to deal with. I'm just not bringing Mary, you into this.
G-E-O-T-G. You know what I mean? G-E-O-T-G. Go easy on the glitter.
That's the word.
That's the word from Judge John Hodgman. It's been so nice to get to know you, your family, your cousins, your kids, and everybody in the world down there at Big Toad Road who knows you. At the end of this episode, we'll play for the final time, perhaps for now, the theme song to Rudy's Place. But until then, have fun up there, Big Toad Road, you guys. Great to get to know you.
Thank you, Your Honor. Thank you, everyone. Bye.
Another case in the books. Before we dispense some swift justice, we want to thank Tony Montalban for naming this week's episode Citation for Glittering. Very clever. If you would like to name a future episode, like Judge John Hodgman on Facebook. We regularly put out a call for submissions. Follow us on social media. I'm on Instagram at Jeannie Grigio. That's N-I-E Grigio. Guess it. The judge is at John Hodgman. He's also on Twitter at Hodgman. Hashtag your Judge John Hodgman tweets, hashtag JJHO, and check out the Maximum Fun subreddit to discuss this episode. Don't talk about me badly. I'll find you. And we're on Instagram at Judge John Hodgman. Make sure to follow us there for evidence and other fun stuff. Our amazing producer is Jennifer Marmer.
Yay.
Now, let's get to Swift Justice, where we answer your small disputes with a quick judgment. Here's the question. I'm very involved in this. Ash says, my wife insists these are deep plates. I contest that they are shallow bowls. And then it is a picture of a deep plate mixed with a shallow bowl.
Gene, what would you say? Is that a deep plate or a shallow bowl? Well, this will be on the Instagram at Judge
Just
John
to
Hodgman.
Let you know, I'll take pictures of all of these. So we've got this one. This Gene is a salad bowl.
Okay, wait a minute. Is this Swift Justice question from you?
No.
Are you secretly Ash?
Well, let me start.
You're showing me your plates and bowls.
This is a plate. I think we
That's
can all
plate.
Say
That's
this
definitely
is
a plate
a
with,
regular...
a, with a rim, though.
Yes, yeah. With a rim. I like a rimmed yeah. plate. This is the next step. This is a deep plate.
A deep plate.
This is a deep plate where you put things. I like to serve sometimes curries mm-hmm. of sorts or pastas or anything. This just got a little more sauce. You can lean a bread on the side. You're not my stuff is going to go everywhere.
Hold that up again, Gene. Yeah, that's a deep plate. I would say that.
And this... Yeah. Is a salad bowl or
salad
kind of
bowl.
A shallow bowl, just a larger, it's not as high on the sides.
I would say that
as like a soup bowl or an extravagant soup bowl or something with
an extravagant
soup
bowl. Where
you have
an
things,
extravagant soup?
Well, let's say it's some sort of broth. And you have many pieces of things that you want to put in said broth.
Cream of chicken with diamonds.
It's horrible.
Cream of chicken with sapphire. That's actually, okay. I just realized that I stole that joke from David Reese, who made it up for our secret project. So when you see the secret project mm-hmm. and you hear the joke about diamonds, you will know that's where this joke came from.
Yeah. So this is but I do definitely consider this a bowl and not a deep plate. And I think the one that is in the picture is closer to a shallow bowl than a deep plate. I think it's got a higher rim.
Ah, I'm so glad you said that because I was going to say that's a shallow bowl because there's no such thing as a deep plate. But now I realize there is a deep plate.
Yes, there is.
But that is definitely a shallow bowl. Mm-hmm. But, Gene, this letter from Judith, another friend of Mary and Rudy's, just came in.
No, it didn't.
I understand, quote, I understand that when my friends and neighbors, Rudy and Mary, will be on your show soon debating the merits of glitter. Yeah, it just happened. I think you should know that environmentalists like me advise against using glitter because it is made from plastic. In fact, it's a microplastic. It does not yet have the status of no plastic straws due to them being lodged in the nostrils of sea turtles, but in time it will get there. Put me in the camp of no glitter, no straws, and no fun. Sincerely, Judith, president of Beyond Plastics, seebeyondplastics.org. That's a valuable message to end the show. And at 98 words, a perfect email. Wow. 98 words, everybody.
Replace your plastic, from Judith. Replace your plastic glitter with metal. Just use shrapnel. Come on, everybody. Metal straws, metal glitter. Let's go.
There we go. That's it. That's our show. Thank you very much, guest bailiff Jean Grey. It's always such a pleasure to spend time with you, and I hope to see you in person soon.
Me too.
Thank you again to Jennifer Marmer. Thank you again to Rudy and Mary and all their friends. That is it for us. We will talk to you next time on the Judge John Hodgman podcast.
Rudy's Place. It's a virtual hangout where you go to buy frenzy beers. Rudy's Place. No internet, no yachts, no sharks invited, so have no fear. I'm gonna ride my horse down Big Toe Road. I'm gonna ride my horse down Big Toe Road. I'm gonna ride till I can't ride no more to Rudy's Place.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.